Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness and Thy mercy. Thou dost understand us so well. Thou knowest that we are but dust. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. We thank Thee for it. And we come unto Thee, our Father, humbly asking for help. Show us the things that Thou wouldst have us to understand. Take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue in our study of the Gospel according to Matthew and in the Sermon on the Mount, we come now in chapter 6 to the discussion of a practice that, generally speaking, is very little known. It's the practice of fasting. A good many persons have tried to understand more about this spiritual exercise, but the Lord Jesus refers to it as one of the things that men do because they want to please God. In this 6th chapter, He has been talking about religious activity. He spent some time talking about almsgiving and went on to say that if you're going to give to the poor, you should do so if you want the blessing of God, for God's sake and not for men. In other words, if you would in your heart and mind have God in mind when you're giving, you will receive blessing from Him. But if you do your giving to be seen of men, you'll get whatever credit they give you, and that's all you'll get. Then the next thing that He took up was the matter of praying. And I'm sure that's a good thing. And He encouraged about it, but He taught how to pray. And He showed various things about praying. And again, He stressed the fact that when you pray, think about God. Talk as if you were talking to God. And remember that God is interested in you. You don't have to repeat yourself in talking to Him. You can be concise and simple and straightforward and ask Him for help such as you need. And now we come to the third. It's in chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, and it is also a practice that we commonly call a religious practice, the practice of fasting. Generally speaking, as I have said, in our day and time, we know very little about it. I suppose everyone understands enough to know that it would generally mean doing without a normal amount of food, a normal or a natural supply of whatever you would need. You could speak of fasting. Now, we usually refer to a food, but it could refer to drink as well, and it could refer to other things. Think of it from this standpoint. Any time that you refrain from doing something that would be normal and natural to do under those circumstances, and if you refrain from doing the normal, natural thing for spiritual reasons, because you want to be nearer to God, because you do not want to be distracted from your personal fellowship with God, that we would call fasting. It's a matter of abstaining from natural practices in order to be more sensitive in spiritual things. This again is grounded on the fact that human nature is such that a human being has physical interests, material interests, and spiritual interests. We're citizens of two worlds, we say. We're a citizen of this world, and we're a citizen of that world, the world of God, the invisible world of the Spirit. And the Christian has a relationship with each. As a human being, I have relationships in this world, and as a child of God, I have relationships with Him. And generally speaking, we can say that the one is in the flesh and the other is in the Spirit. Now, it just happens that I'm just one person, and if I want to give my time over to spiritual things, I won't be able to give my time over to fleshly things. And so it has been a practice in the course of history for spiritually minded people, believers, to abstain from things which are perfectly natural so far as the physical is concerned. But they do this in order that, while doing without the physical supply of whatever it is that they want, they can be more sensitive to the spiritual needs as they are at that moment. Actually, this matter of fasting has interested a great many people. You'll find it mentioned, but very little discussed. I can remember how much interest I had in reading the diary of Andrew Bonner, who was a minister in Scotland. And he told in his personal diary of certain experiments he made in this matter of fasting. He would tell, for example, that if he was going to go to the Lord's Supper, he would make it a point not to eat anything for a certain length of time before. On some occasions, he wouldn't eat for the whole day before they had the Lord's Supper. And another time, he would eat the day before they would have the Lord's Supper. And then he would make a record as to the difference in his spiritual experience. On the week, we'll say, or the time when they would have to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and he wouldn't eat, he would afterwards take note as to whether that made him unusually spiritually sensitive. Then on another occasion, he would eat in a normal way and then go to the Lord's Supper, and then he would write down his notation as to whether or not he felt as close to the Lord then as he did before. I have seen that done by people even among my own friends. I can remember in the days when I was a student many years ago that one of my fellow students, a young man from Minnesota, who took it on himself to make an experiment of fasting. He discussed it with me and with several other people. We knew he was going to do it. And so for a certain week in that school program, he made it a point to eat nothing. Now, he drank food. He drank water, and I don't know whether he drank milk or not. But in general, he abstained from eating food. And he did this for a week. He watched himself very carefully, very closely, and he would report to us what difference did it make to him spiritually, whether or not there was any actual spiritual significance or value from it. It was a very interesting thing. We were all interested and concerned about it. And he went through with it, however, to report. I think, generally speaking, that this friend of mine came to the conclusion that it had just about the effect you would expect. If, for instance, the time came for you to spend the time at a meal, instead of going to the meal, he would go to his Bible reading and his Bible study. He did have a feeling in himself that if you were going to fast, that just doing without food wasn't the point. It was doing without food so that you could draw nigh unto God. So in his case, instead of going to the meal in connection with the dormitory he was in and joining the other students in a certain meal, he would spend that time in prayer and in Bible reading. And in that way, he would try to find out. And his general conclusion was that it was useful and fruitful, although we never were real sure. He himself said he wasn't real sure whether that wouldn't have happened if he had done it in another way. For instance, instead of spending an hour in Bible reading and prayer between 12 and 1 while the rest of us were eating lunch, perhaps if he had spent an hour from 3 to 4 in the afternoon in Bible reading and prayer, it might be just as useful. He agreed, however, and was willing to give his testimony that the fact that you did take the time out from your ordinary food and you did abstain from ordinary practices made you more conscious of the fact that you were doing these things for God, and in that way, you were more deliberate in your approach to Him. I think in a general way, he felt that fasting could be, in a Christian person, a wholesome thing. Not long ago, I had a student of mine who made a study of fasting, read everything he could on it, and was preparing a thesis on the matter to find out about fasting. He started fasting in the Bible and studied it in a biography and the biography of various people and so on. He found out that a great many people refer to it who don't discuss it. Some of the leading ministers that he knew of and that we have, of whom we know, we have their books and so on, he found that they referred to days of fasting in which they shared, but they never personally testified concerning how much of it they did and so on, which was very interesting to us all. And the more we think about it, the more we think that there could be, perhaps, something very important here. I want to tell you one thing that this means to me. I'm not sure that fasting should be limited only to matters of food. I think more people fast, if for Christian reasons and spiritual reasons, than we ordinarily recognize. For example, if a person refrains from going to amusement places, we'll say that a man who has an opportunity of going to see a baseball game, a big league baseball game, And instead of going to this big league baseball game that everyone else is going to, he's going to take that time for spiritual study and for prayer. I think that would be fasting. I think that when you see a family that makes it a rule that on Saturday night they are not going to be out late, they're going to refrain from going to entertainments or anything else on Saturday night which would distract their attention and tire them out for Sunday. And so they actually refrain from what would be a normal social engagement that wouldn't have anything especially wrong about it, but it would be absorbing and it would be demanding. And they refrain from doing that because they want the Sunday to be spiritually more meaningful. I think that would be fasting. And the same thing is true with some of us. We know that there are some of us people, for instance, who will not do certain things. There are certain social practices, and we won't share in them. We could do them, and if we did, we would make a certain number of acquaintances in a social way. And if we were young people, we might even make some friends if we went in with that. But there are some young people that refrain from some practices because they think that it's better for them spiritually if they do refrain. That's fasting in my estimation. And I think people, for instance, who make it a rule that while everyone else may go some certain place, they don't think that would be good for them spiritually. They think it would be too distracting. And so they abstain from these things. Anything that you abstain from for spiritual reasons, I really think is a matter of fasting. Peter says, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In a general way, make it a practice that you're going to deny yourself the tendency to get into physical activity or pleasure likely to distract you from God. I think that would be fasting. And the Lord Jesus would say that when you do this, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts and minds while we think on these things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.